Thank you very much. Some people say to me, whatever got you interested in MAID? Well, one of my very best friends had terminal cancer, and he was at PRHC down the palliative care wing, and this was in the late 90s, mid to late 90s, and he heard about MAID, and so he decided he would like to avail himself of MAID. Then he asked his wife to call me and ask me if I'd be with them. So that was my first introduction to it, and when the procedure was over, which was really sad, but there was a beauty to it. He just gently passed. He gave the nurse practitioner the go-ahead, and he gently passed, and we all cried, kids and grandkids, me and his wife. But it was there was a beauty to it as well as a sadness. And then I was asked to, as a deacon, I was asked to preside at his funeral, which I did. Now, there's a lot to talk about in MAID, and so I will try and go as quickly as I possibly can. First of all, what is MAID? Medical assistance in dying includes assisted suicide, where a person self-administers a medication prescribed by a medical practitioner that results in death. A voluntary euthanasia, a medical practitioner administers medication at the request of the patient, which results in death. So one, you self-administer. Second is the medical practitioner, which can be a nurse practitioner or a physician. Now, physicians are guided by their own ethics and morals, and was mentioned that there will be different opinions as to whether or not this topic should even be discussed. And some physicians want no part of it. Others are, I wouldn't say happy, but they're prepared to assist their patients in any way they can. And one of the people I consulted quite extensively when I was putting together this presentation was John Beamish. Some of you may have heard of John Beamish. He was the head physician at Hospice Peterborough, and he just retired. But he was a big help and was a supporter of the MAID. And you'll notice in some of the slides, Appendix A, B, C, and so on, and out at the back, I have miniature copies of all the slides, and I have some copies of the appendices if you're interested. Now, in 1972, suicide as a crime was removed from the criminal code. Up until then, if you committed suicide, you committed a crime. Now, they're not going to be able to do very much about it if you succeeded, but it was still a crime. A patient or their power of attorney or substitute decision maker may withhold or withdraw the life-sustaining medication which may result in the patient's death. So that's nothing to do with me. That's withdrawing medication. So, for example, when somebody's friend or spouse or son is dying, by telling the physician, please stop medication A, B, and C. Yes, sir, but that will result in death. That's okay. That's what I understand they want. But that's not me. Now, just a couple of stories. Nancy B., who was a young woman with incurable progressive paralysis, and she was placed on a respirator. I think she was from Quebec. And she wanted to have the respirator removed. Her request was taken to a court, and the court's decision was that she was competent to make such a decision. And so Nancy had the respirator removed, and she died on February the 13th. But again, nothing aggressive was actually done to her. She just withdrew the respirator. And for many years, any of us can have medications or treatments withdrawn at our request. That is not MAID. This was not really assisted suicide. It was about a patient's right to accept or refuse treatment. Another case, you may have heard of the Sue Rodriguez case. Sue suffered from amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, ALS, and you've heard of many people. Who's the famous pitcher? Lou Gehrig, thank you. So it's a deteriorating disease, and eventually you will die. She requested assistance in dying. In other words, medical aid in dying. She was refused. She appealed to the Supreme Court of Canada, but lost in a 5-4 decision. However, she did die on February the 12th, 1994, with the assistance of a doctor, and Dr. Sven Robinson, who was at her side. And Sven was a kind of a rebel MP. Somebody will remember Sven Robinson. Canadian Medical Association, what do they say about all this? They want to try and create a balance between respecting the autonomy of Canadians, eligible for access, protecting vulnerable individuals, and allowing physicians to adhere to their own personal moral compasses. In 1995, there was a Senate committee entitled On Life and Death, on Euthanasia and Assisted Suicide. They were to examine and report on the legal, social issues related to euthanasia and assisted suicide. With respect to assisted suicide and voluntary euthanasia, the report did not recommend any changes to current laws. They studied it, but they didn't recommend any changes. Now we have Quebec in 2014, Bill 52, an act respecting end-of-life care. It dealt with palliative care, including continuous palliative sedation, medical aid in dying, and advance directives, which did not prevent advance directives regarding MAID. They were not and are still not permitted in most of the country. The bill dealt with the request for end-of-life patients and recognition of their rights and freedoms, and it must inspire every act performed in their regard. So people are dying, and they want to make some decisions about how and when they're going to die. The Carter case, 2015. It was heard by the Supreme Court, and it began in 2009. And it was similar to the Sue Rodriguez assisted suicide case, which she lost, if you recall, in the Supreme Court. The trial judge ruled that prohibiting assisted suicide contravened Section 7 and 15 of the Charter. So, lost. The BC Court of Appeal reversed the trial judge's decision. On the 6th of February, 2015, the Supreme Court ruled unanimously that the prohibition of assisted suicide in the criminal code did infringe upon the right to life, liberty, and security of the person for individuals who want access to physician-assisted death. So there's the first major victory for those that are supporting it. So now we're going to look at 2016 up to the present. A Government of Canada bill, C-14, which was an act to amend the criminal code again, would permit MAID in certain situations, and it received royal assent in June of 2016. So here are a few of the features of that bill. They're eligible for health services in Canada, so it's not an international storefront. At least 18 years of age, an adult, and capable of making decisions with respect to their health. And there are hospital people that are trained to assess capability. So they have to be assessed as capable of making medical health decisions. And they have a grievous and irremediable medical condition. Now that's a bit harder to get your head around. What does that really mean? And the medical people will have to determine that. You could say, well, there's, of course, terminal cancer, there could be chronic heart disease, there could be so many different diseases that could or couldn't be considered as grievous and irremediable. And they're enduring physical and or psychological suffering. Doesn't have to be both, but it can be either one or both. And they have made a voluntary request for medical assistance in dying. I mean, that sounds simple, but it's not, it's, you know, my wife says to me, why don't you just fill out this form and we'll be done with it? You have to do it on your own. You have to decide that that's what you want. And this is another biggie. Their natural death has become reasonably foreseeable. Well, all our deaths are reasonably foreseeable. We all are going to die. So the question is, how do you define reasonably foreseeable? And that can create some angst in a family and some difficulty for the medical profession. So then the government also wanted to study three other areas that medical assistance in dying might be expanded to. Request by mature minors. See, a person is 18, they're an adult. What about mature minors? What about a 17 or a 16-year-old who's very mature and understands everything about dying and life and health? And what about that? Would we allow it? Advanced requests. I'm sure many of us here have in our powers of attorney advanced requests. Do this or don't do this if this condition, my health reaches this condition. Well, now there's the suggestion is, well, could one of those conditions, the results or the solution to one of those conditions be made? If this, this, and this, I want made. That doesn't exist in most of Canada, but we will bring it up again with respect to Quebec. And the third one is, what about made requested by somebody who is suffering from a mental disorder? And legislation in this, from a federal standpoint, was going to be coming up this past spring, but the minister decided, no, he's going to wait another year. So we won't see anything on that in the federal front until spring of 2014. And in 2016, the Government of Canada asked the Council of Canadian Academics to form an expert panel, asking them a couple of questions. What are the implications for individuals and other affected persons? How does MAID affect other people? What are the impacts on society? Would people start saying, well, you know, society is going to kill off the weak? And what are the potential risks and safeguards? So can you build a system that identifies risks and builds in some safeguards that will protect people from MAID when they may not really have wanted it? And what about gaps in knowledge and research? Almost anything that you're going to do in life requires some research. So MAID for mature minors. Generally considering these to be under 18, young people under 18, and with capacity to make voluntary healthcare decisions. What are the issues? Vulnerability. Could somebody be talking them into it? Could they have a sort of a peer group that would be working, suggesting that, hey, that's a good idea, Matt, Alan. Why don't you go ahead with it? You're not feeling well. Capable. Am I truly, as a 17-year-old, 16-year-old, am I truly capable of understanding what this is all about? And who decides eligibility? I'm 16, I say I'm capable, who's going to decide? So advanced directives. I'm sure... I certainly have advanced directives in my power of attorney as to what I want my children to do in certain circumstances, but it can't include, at this point in time, it cannot include when this, 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 and this made. Can't have that. Not allowed. So it'll be instructions to your power of attorney, and your instructions must be clear. But again, if it's an advanced directive for made, what and who will determine MAID, the eligibility for MAID. I mean, how can you put that down in black and white and say, okay, and then your power of attorney will say, yep, those conditions are met. Let's go. How do you deal with the person losing capacity and final consent? I write an advance directive and I give Bill the power of attorney. He's going to make the decision. How's he going to make it? And how's he going to determine? Have I lost capacity? Have I not lost capacity? People fake it. Vulnerability. There are so many issues of vulnerability in medical situations, and this is certainly one of them. And does this issue affect on how society values people? What about safeguards? How can we build in safeguards to make sure that we don't have issues such as the effect on society and values and all that? So, issue. It's an issue. And, of course, again, you come to the bottom of almost any of these things. Somebody will say, well, we need some more research. We need some more study before we can move forward. Now, I mentioned advanced directives. Quebec, just a few weeks ago, adopted a law that expands access to medical aid in dying and allows advanced consent for the procedure. It's going to be very interesting to see how that plays out and whether other provinces will follow. I'm going to follow it and see what the fallout is. There'll certainly be some issues. So mental disorder is the sole underlying medical condition. Can we allow a maid in that situation? I write out an advance directive and I say, if I go batty, I want maid. Or I'm being silly, but you know what I mean. If I have a severe medical illness, I'd like to have maid and be out of here. Initially, the government said that they were going to deal with that in the spring of 2013. But a few months ago, the Minister of Health announced that, no, they won't be ready. They will be bringing something forward in 2024. But here are I'm sure you can come up with the same questions or others. What mental disorders would qualify? Is death reasonably foreseeable? Not really, in most mental health situations. What are the treatment options, and which treatment options has the patient tried? Do they really have what we would refer to as a grievous and irremediable medical condition? I'm not saying yes, I'm not saying no, but the question is there. What's the prognosis? If you talk to an internal medicine guy, he can give you a fair number of ideas and comments about technical prognosis. Your gallbladder's gone, we're going to take it out, or this is that. We'll get the cancer out, and hopefully we'll get it all. But what about a mental issue? Again, almost every slide has vulnerability and safeguards. We always have to be aware who might be vulnerable and who might take advantage of that vulnerability. So the study that was done for the government was very thorough. And in summary, it recommended that there was, again, need for more research on MAID and these particular issues of mature minors, advanced requests, and mental disorders. Quebec, in 2019, Quebec Superior Court declares part of the federal bill, C-14, unconstitutional. In September 2019, a stunning decision by the Quebec Superior Court declared parts of the law unconstitutional. The challenge was launched by two people who, with degenerative diseases, who had requested MAID, and their requests were denied because it was determined that their deaths were not reasonably foreseeable. The judge agreed with the complainants and gave the government 6 months to come up with new legislation before suspending that provision of the law. The federal government did not appeal that decision by the judge, and they set about to prepare new legislation that would satisfy the judge's ruling. So they came now, we have another bit of legislation, they came up with Bill C-7. I don't know why the numbers start at 14 and come down to 7, but they do strange things. I guess it's all to do with the calendar, maybe, I don't know. So some of the highlights of this new bill, B-C-7, the removal of the requirement that a person's death must be reasonably foreseeable. And that is important. The friend that I mentioned at the beginning, his death was definitely reasonably foreseeable. He was dying down in palliative care, and he requested MAID, and he received it. But what about for the person whose death is not reasonably foreseeable? The absence of any recommendation on advance directives, they didn't make any comments about that. Mature minors, and persons whose only condition is mental health. So what they really accomplished, which is a big accomplishment, they dealt with the reasonably foreseeable death issue. But they didn't deal with those other three problems. Now, some highlights of Bill B7. You have to be 18 years of age, of course. Be eligible for public funding of health care. You make a voluntary request. Nobody's going in and say, by the way, my wife just told me she wants to die, so I'll bring her in tomorrow, okay? And the giving of informed consent to receive MAID. And they have a grievous and irremediable medical condition, disease, or disability. Excluding, of course, a mental illness, at least until the government deals with that topic. And they are to be in an advanced state of irreversible decline in quality. Sorry, in capability. And they have enduring and intolerable physical and related psychological suffering that cannot be alleviated under conditions the person considers acceptable. MAID for mature minors. And mental health and advanced directives. These issues and questions were studied by a joint committee again. You can imagine, these people had a lot of committees. And if, in case of mental illness, an expert panel will be asked to study and comment, and I've already mentioned that won't be coming back to Parliament until next spring, 2014. So we won't dwell on that. And the Joint Parliament Committee expressed serious concerns and has suggestions that implementation should be delayed. And the expert panel reported on May the 13th, 2022, we're getting close to our year, that issues in curability, capacity, relieving suffering, training of assessors, still no resolution for mental health. Okay, what if somebody was considering MAID, forgetting all the technical details, what advice could one give? Well, if you're thinking about it, I would certainly recommend that you talk to your healthcare provider and your loved ones. Don't try and do this on your own. If you want to proceed past just discussing about it, you'd want to obtain a MAID application form. As I mentioned at the beginning, there are samples of all of those down at the back. I'm not encouraging anybody to do it. I'm just... and then there are some clinical aid forms at the back. And there are other documents, again, they're all listed and they're sitting on the table at the back. And the Peterborough Regional Health Center has also put out a pamphlet, and that's available at the back. And there's a summary, a little flowchart. That's available at the back. Now, in terms of getting consultation, you can contact the Ontario Ministry of Health. You can contact the Office of Home and Community Support Services. And make sure that you do have a will and power of attorney already in place. And if and when made is allowed as an advance directive, make sure you would have that as part of your will power of attorney. And if you have these contacts are particularly recommended if a person is considering having maid administered at home. Because that is possible. You don't have to go into a hospital. You can have it administered at home. So you'd want all these people to be very much informed and understand what your wishes are. And in fact, one friend of mine did have maid administered at her home. So you do, as I mentioned, there is the application form, and then you'll be assessed by at least two or more physicians or nurse practitioners as to whether you meet the criteria. Now, if they assess you and they say, "I'm really sorry, ma'am or sir, we don't think you meet the criteria," you can appeal that and ask for a second assessment. Changing your mind. You can change your mind on this issue anytime you want. The person could be, the nurse practitioner or doctor could be poised with a needle at your IV and you could say, "No thanks, I don't want it now." And no harm done. Nobody say, "You son of a bitch, you got me here and I'm about to get it." You can just say, "No thank you," and no harm done, and the nurse or doctor will say, "Fine, Mr. Weatherspoon, that's just fine. Okay, away you go." Now, the location, I've been part of or witnessed two. One was in the hospital and the other was at home. So, and you can have anybody with. You can bring all your family. The one that was in the hospital that I visited, he had his children and his grandchildren there and his wife and then me and the medical staff. And some said, "What was it like?" And I said, "Well, you know, it was terribly sad, but there was a beauty to it. You know, we had an IV already there, and we chatted, and in fact, I have to admit, we had just a little bit of single malt whiskey, he and I." And then he said to the nurse practitioner, "Okay, let's go." And within a couple of minutes, it was all over. And of course, we all cried, but there was some underlying beauty about it. Now, the application process, there are two tracks: that your natural death has become reasonably foreseeable or it has not. Once approved, there's no specific timeline for that column on the left. And the person may be asked to provide express consent at the time of the procedure. Now, as of March 2021, a person who has lost capacity does not have to give consent at the time, provided they had signed an earlier consent form. Because there's always that worry. Suddenly it comes to the moment and they can't respond. Natural death is not reasonably foreseeable. Once approved, there must be at least 90 days before the procedure can be given. Now, there can be an exception where the person appears to be losing capacity, because you have to give permission at the very end. So we could be halfway through the 90 days and the doctors realize I'm starting to lose it in terms of my capacity, so they could move forward the actual procedure. The final report on the Joint Committee was tabled in 2023, that's this year, to study mature minors and mental illness and advanced directives. No, nothing new. There's no decision on that, but they keep talking and we'll see what happens. I think there's going to be something more. And a couple of the questions are, for a mature minor, Do we have to have determined that the condition is irreversibly progressing? What is the role of the parents? Your 16-year-old daughter has decided that that's what she wants. What is your role? Not an easy question, and not an easy answer. And, of course, does the minor understand what's going on? And again, more research, please. Which isn't a bad thing. It's a pretty difficult topic. And what about mental health? And that's probably been the most discussed one of all of the ways in which you could request medical assistance in dying, and that is the one where you have a mental health condition. Because I've been very involved in the healthcare system, not as a professional, but as a volunteer, and it's very difficult to get to understand all of these things. And even if you're a medical professional, and has the mental illness affected the patient's capacity? What criteria do the assessors use to determine eligibility for MAID in mental illness? And what about the lack of timely and appropriate mental health care in both the country and locally? If you have yourself or a friend or a daughter or child or anything who needs psychiatric care, what's the wait time? And I think it's a lot longer than it should be. And again, you know, I've tried this, I've tried that, I've tried the other thing, and none of it worked. And we cannot force people to go under treatment. We've often heard of the benefits or lack thereof of shock treatment for people with mental illness. But it's apparently, from what I've heard, not a very pleasant experience to go through. So what if the person says, I don't want any part of that? And now the minister, it was supposed to come out, as I mentioned, supposed to come out this spring. The minister said, no, he's going to wait till 2014. So I will be very interested to see what he or she at that time comes up with. Advanced directives for MAID. An advanced request involves a competent person making a written request for medical assistance in dying that could be honored later after they have lost capacity to make medical decisions for themselves. We probably all, as I mentioned, we probably all have that about other things, you know, with respect to illnesses we could have. But that's a biggie. From testimony, without advance directives, I might decide to leave while I'm still capable. But that, I think what that meant was, if I can't get it into my advance directive, I may want to have euthanasia, commit suicide, whatever you want to call it, right now, because I don't want to take that chance. Now, the advance directives, if they're going to be allowed, and as I say, Quebec is moving in that direction, you have to define very clear, observable criteria that would trigger MAID. And now, noted earlier, Quebec now allows, under certain circumstances, advanced directives for MAID. We'll see how that goes. There are risks. What about dementia? As, you know, an advanced directive, if I get dementia, it may be physically perfectly healthy, but and could these advanced directives only be used if they've had a specific diagnosis? Here again, it floats through the whole issue of talking about many medical questions. But what about coercion? Some say that far from being the ultimate act of autonomy, made by advance directive could be a recipe for elder abuse. Didn't say it would be, but it could be. And as I say, Quebec has adopted this spring to include advance consent in MAID. In a 2022 Ipsos poll, 46% strongly and 39% somewhat supported advance directives for MAID. That's a pretty significant indication of support for advance directives for MAID. Now, you probably can't read any of those, but they are in the handouts at the back. But you can see if you... I can get closer if you can.
In 2016, the total of 10 amendments was 1,000. In 2022, the total number of agencies is 15,500. So it is a growth industry quotation marks.
And by setting, where are the agencies being administered? Hospitals, rulers, private residents, and church. Our repair facilities there and what we just told. Now, interestingly enough, the hospital theater recently announced that they would permit any of their residents to request aid and have been administered at hospital theater. Prior to that, they actually don't have to do it.
The nature of suffering, I think, the
biggest one is cancer, by far.
And again, the case in point, the two that I am aware of, that's exactly what it was. So even if you want to administer the drugs yourself, the nurse practitioner or a doctor has to be in attendance, has to be there. And there's a whole sequence of drugs, and in one of my slide decks, I had them listed, and people said, I don't understand all those words, and I said, nor do I. But there are a sequence of drugs that you can imagine, you know, to relax you and so on, and finally you actually die. Dr. Chantal Perrault, who is the chair of MAID House Board of Directors, said, what we look for in terms of distress would be visible signs of grimacing or moving or sometime something, and there is none of that. And that's, is there pain or discomfort when the drugs are being administered? And again, the one that I was at, there was no sign whatsoever of any discomfort or pain on the part of the patient. Palliative care in MAID. People argue that they're separate and distinct, and I would argue that they aren't. They're similar. Both are trying to make sure that a person with a severe life-threatening illness is kept as comfortable as they possibly can be. MAID takes it one step further and says, we will also assist you in ending your life. But up to that point, I think palliative care and MAID are very complementary. They both manage pain. They both try and provide comfort. They both promote open and honest communication. And they offer support to family members. Palliative care, MAID, no difference there. We've talked about residential hospice already. Faith-based hospitals, another difficult issue. There were stories, I don't know that they still exist, but there were stories where a person who wanted to have MAID administered in a faith-based hospital was told, no, sir, it's against our faith. And they would wheel that person out to the corner, contacting the family and say, she will be in a wheelchair, he'll be in a wheelchair at the sidewalk, you've got to come and pick him up. Now that is thankfully changing. But where a faith-based hospital is really holding to those values, and I can't argue with them, I'm not saying they're wrong, what do you do in a rural situation where the only hospital is a faith-based hospital and a patient wants to access MAID? What are the solutions? Perhaps faith-based hospitals agree to MAID being permitted in their institutions if there are sufficient physicians and other staff willing to participate. That's one possible solution. Or faith-based hospitals agree to facilitate the transfer of patients requesting MAID to a hospital that will, in fact, perform the procedure. What about doctors? As in, I think, all professions, doctors should not be forced to participate in the administering of MAID. So if they say, I'm sorry, it's against my beliefs, then nobody should force them to participate. Coercion. How can you define it? How do you observe it? And it could be very overt. Why don't you just go and have yourself killed? You're no good to anybody, including yourself. But it's very seldom does that happen. It's a lot more subtle. Have you read anything about MAID? Here's something you might want to read. Now, is that coercion or is that assisting the person? And again, in terms of the coercion part, who can determine that? Obviously, the individual can. Say, my father has been battering me, my wife's been battering me, my kids have been battering me, telling me to do this or not do this. But who is the person who hopefully can determine whether there's been any coercion? I would suggest about the only person I can think of would be the assessor. If you have a really good assessor, they should be able to get out of you in their meetings and discussions with you whether or not you are feeling pressured to do it by other people. And what would make people think of doing this? Well, fear of being a burden. Fear of depending on others. Desire for controlling one's own dying process. I'm tired. I had enough. Unacceptable quality of life. Losing my physical functions while my mental functions are still intact. Financial or emotional gain for the beneficiaries. Could that be part of a coercion part? Rights groups or individuals might lobby a person to request or not request MAID. So there's all these pressures on a person who may be considering MAID. That was a cartoon I found somewhere, and it basically, somebody's joining the army, and they said, well, that's okay, you can join the army, but you can always have MAID. So words to that effect. And there's a cartoon to suggest what people might want to do. Suicide rate, what was it, yes? Assisted suicide. Nice to see that. So don't think that there aren't people either promoting or doing the reverse of very difficult issues. The big question about the vulnerable people in, who only get around in wheelchairs but otherwise are perfectly healthy, what assistance are we providing for those people? We have some amazing people in this country. I don't know if any of you have heard of John Thurston, but John is a wheelchair curler. I think he won the bronze medal at the recent Olympics. And he spoke at our Provost. He was wonderful. I'm very impressed with him. But boy, what courage. I think it was an industrial accident that did. He wasn't born with it. So with all the people that are somewhat disabled or very disabled, do they have appropriate housing? Do they have appropriately trained caregivers? Do they have access to appropriate transportation? Do they have a sense of dignity? Companionship? Do they have the financial resources they need? And do they have the medical, emotional, and mental health supports that they need? There was a report somewhere that came out of Quebec that horrifyingly suggested that a newborn who exhibited, serious medical things could perhaps be given MAID right then and there. I think that just makes me shudder to think that somebody would suggest that. MAID will be available to people who are vulnerable while there continues to be a chronic lack of appropriate supports and services for many of them. This is all about disabilities. MAID will continue to be available for them all, but we have got to do a lot more as a society, if the number is that, to bring that number down to here through proper support to be available for those people. And with respect to Stephanie Green, I think that's her book here, that I got a couple of copies of. It's always the job of the clinician to assess not just capacity to make this request, which is an important part of the whole thing we do, but also to assess vulnerability in our patient. And it's something we take very, very seriously, and we take our time to do properly. The Canadian model was never intended to be a strictly end-of-life regime. It's more centered on the criteria of patient suffering than the end of life. And that is an important value. Some of the supposedly amusing things. In their bid to keep him alive, made him want to die. So, How many people have you heard of who've been getting every treatment, every tube out of every orifice in their body? They've had it. All they really want to do now is die. And this all keeps coming down to vulnerable. In summary, loved ones and friends must resist applying their own personal views to others. That's not easily done. You have to support the people you work with, love, live with, but you can't impose your point of view on others. And we have to spend a lot more time studying the effects of suffering, vulnerability, and, well, of course, the effect of death is obvious, but still we need to talk about it. Slippery Slope, John Iveson, who you know writes now in the National Post, "I truly believe the adoption of tightly regulated assisted dying is a hallmark of a civilized society." Then he quoted Andrew O'Hagan, "When people have a diagnosed illness, and they're going to die soon, possibly in pain, then what you do is assist them towards a reasonable death." He concluded his piece with the following: "The slippery slope argument is often shameless scaremongering, but in this case, it does have some merit." Now, is there a looming crisis as to whether or not we have sufficient services in our country? We do have some physicians who may have assisted people in dying, but say, no, I can't do that anymore. So do we have a supply and demand in terms of the labor force? And a lot of doctors and nurse practitioners, I think you could understand it, suffer from burnout if they do a fair amount of this. It's not something I'd call particularly rewarding. And I mentioned when we were looking at the chart, the growth in demand for MAID in Canada has gone from 1,000 up in 2016 and 13,500 in 2022. And some providers, again, they'll do a bit of cherry picking, and that's not meant to be an insult. They'll only take people from track one, which is the foreseeable death reasonably expected. And, of course, when mental health comes next spring, if whatever they're going to do about it, that's only going to complicate the whole issue for Canadians and for the medical profession. And, of course, we have had probably the most major change was that when MAID was first introduced, your death had to be reasonably foreseeable. Now that is no longer required. Your death does not have to be reasonably foreseeable. So that is probably one of the reasons why the numbers have expanded in the last few years so significantly. Patient autonomy. I think I mentioned earlier, please discuss these kinds of things with family and friends, but there have been cases where a person chose MAID and the family was totally unaware. I think that's too bad. I think that's sad. I don't know what the background would be to that, but I think that's sad. So we always look at what is the role of the family. Whatever our political, religious, or moral leanings, the assisted dying debate remains an incredibly human or irreducibly human issue. It follows that we must summon all the compassion and kindness in our hearts when broaching this matter. And that came from the Straits Times in Singapore. Thank you.